Council of California for July 25th, 2013. This meeting is now in session. Before I ask Judge Jarre to take a roll call of our many members who are joining us by phone today, I do remind council members that our meetings are audiocast live with real-time captioning on the California Courts website. And for the benefit of, I believe, 9-plus judicial council members joining us by phone and the online audience, please speak into your microphones and address each other by name so that listeners and the real-time captioning readers can follow our discussion. Also, as you know, segments of our meetings are regularly videotaped for future posting on the California Courts website. Again, I'd like to acknowledge that three of our newly appointed judicial council members are in attendance today. Their backgrounds and experience, I believe, will enrich our discussions and decision-making on statewide policy for our judicial branch and for enhancing access for all Californians. They are Mr. Mark Bonino, attorney from Redwood City. Good morning.
Good morning.
Presiding Judge Dean Stout, Superior Court of Inyo County. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
And I believe by phone, Ms. Charlene Inson, Court Administrator Clerk from the 5th District Court of Appeal in Fresno, is joining us.
Yes, good morning.
Morning. Before we begin, as I've already alluded, we have a number of folks online. I'd ask Judge Jarre to conduct a roll call to ensure that we have a forum. Judge Jarre?
Thank you, Chief Justice. We'll have the roll call for the entire council membership. Justice Ashman Gerst.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Judge Baker.
Here. Good morning, everyone.
Justice Baxter.
Present. Good morning.
Honorable Assemblymember Bloom. Judge Brandlin.
Here.
Ms. Davis.
Here.
Judge D'Alba. Second call, Judge D'Alba.
Present.
Judge Elias.
Here.
Judge Ellsworth.
Here, thank you.
Honorable Senator Evans. Mr. Fox.
Here.
Judge Herman. Second call.
Here.
Judge Herman, is that you?
Here. That's me. I'm here. Thanks.
Justice Hull.
I'm here. Good morning.
Judge Jackson.
She was going to be a few minutes late.
Understand. Thank you. Judge Kaufman.
I'm here.
Ms. Mathai.
Here.
Justice Miller.
Here.
Judge O'Malley?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Here.
Judge Rosenberg?
Here.
Thank you, Chief Justice.
Thank you.
This is Mary Beth Todd. I'm also here on the phone.
And this is Brian McCabe. I'm also present.
And I'd note for the record, Judge
Walsh. This is Angela Davis. I think my phone might have been muted. Did you record that I was here?
We did. We did.
And I think, hello?
Yes.
Okay, good.
And also Judge Hardcastle. So before we start this meeting, I want to invite all of the disembodied voices on the phone to feel free to interrupt and make yourself known. I know how hard it is to call in and you're on a mute button and there's a delay, but don't feel that you're interrupting the meeting, and I know I don't have to tell any of you not to be shy. Next on our agenda is my regular report to the council. And for this particular report, I'd like to take this time very briefly to review where we've come from, where we are, and where I believe we can go as a judicial branch. Each year at this time, as you know, the council meets to review recommendations from presiding judges and court executives on how trial court funding will be allocated. I'd like to bring to your attention three differences from where we were last year at this time. First, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, making these recommendations to us later in our meeting, is now a committee that answers to the Judicial Council, not the Administrative Director. This modification, I believe, reflects just one of the ongoing governance efforts to increase Judicial Council oversight of our work. A second, earlier this month, the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee met in public for the first time as it discussed the budget allocations. I'd like to congratulate and thank Judge Lori Earle, the chair of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, and the members for opening up the meeting to the public. Under current court rules, which we were looking at, it is within the discretion of a chair to decide whether an advisory committee meeting should be open. And as Judge Earle noted before that meeting, that the process for recommending how taxpayer funds should be allocated to the trial courts is certainly an appropriate topic for an open meeting. Third, as many of you know and have breathed a sigh of relief, this is the first time in 5 years that the judicial branch budget has not been cut. That's the good news. The bad news is that we still have to dig ourselves out of a huge financial hole. After all the cuts in the previous 5 years, we are still approximately $500 million away from restoration. And our goal of reinvesting in the justice system is still an urgent one and will be for many years to come. That's why our discussion and vote today later is significant. As you all know, only 2.1% of the entire state budget is dedicated to the judicial branch. And even though of that, the trial courts receive about 80% of branch funding, it's evident it is not enough. We see evidence of the lack of funding every day, and we continue to do so when courts continue to report closures, layoffs, furloughs, and reduced hours. So how our funding is allocated will affect every single court user in the state. Affecting every court user in the state, in my belief, underscores our constitutional duty as council members to bring a statewide perspective to our decision making. We don't represent trial courts. We represent all Californians, all who seek or find themselves in the justice system. I was especially appreciative of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee statewide perspective the members brought to the task of coming up with an allocation formula that brings a more equitable distribution model to the trial courts. I look forward to hearing the committee's report. But before that, I think this is an opportune time to say a few words about the near and long-term vision of the branch. Ever since I took office in January 2011, our branch has had to react regularly to severe budget cuts. Our construction funds were borrowed or redirected to the state budget or court operations. In addition, the state auditor gave us a thorough and critical report on the problems she discovered in a technology project that began when I was still a Superior Court judge. Meanwhile, a committee of judges I appointed called for sweeping reforms of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and our newly constituted Judicial Council called for and took more oversight of the AOC and its infrastructure programs. We've come a long way in 2.5 years. We have much more to do for the public. And first and foremost is to put the judicial branch on sound fiscal footing. And we do that by putting our own house in order. Those are the oversight reforms that we've instituted, continue to reassess as we reinvest in the justice system. And we need that reinvestment to institute what I call Access 3D, three-dimensional access to the courts. And what do I mean by that? I mean that access should be at least three things: physical, remote, and equal. Physical access means keeping our courthouse doors open and operating at hours that benefit the public. It means having safe, secure, well-maintained, and cost-effective courthouses that are accessible to those in California, all including with disabilities. Remote access means increasing our ability to conduct business of the branch, as you know, online, to file court cases online, access case information online, records online, and make video appearances where and when appropriated and after carefully thinking out all the rights and duties involved in a remote appearance. Equal access has several meanings and several prongs. It means first and foremost in today's day, language access. How does the branch serve 38 million Californians who speak more than 200 languages, 120 of them used in court? We have heard union representatives speak a number of times to the council. We'll hear more today. I think we can all agree that we should all do our best to advance language access by providing and endorsing programs that enhance professional standards for interpreters and to ensure that those who need interpreter services get those services. Equal access means courts are available to all, from low and medium income litigants representing themselves to business interests urgently needing to resolve immediate disputes so they can continue to conduct their business. Equal access also means adequately staffing our courts so that we have enough judges and court clerks to serve the public, not just the public in certain locations and at certain times. Equal access means making the judicial branch administration of business more transparent, particularly in the expenditure of taxpayer dollars. Equal access means supporting a diverse judicial branch at all levels to benefit the public, to reflect the vast diversity of the state, and to consider the opinions of all who may be affected. That means making diverse appointments to the council and its advisory committees and task forces. So in the end, equal access, what I consider the third prong of Access 3D, relies on public support and understanding. And our task, then, is to promote civic awareness about the importance of the three branches of government and to show how the three independent branches are the basis or the foundation of our democracy. And it will take a much better funded judicial branch to fulfill this vision of Access 3D. But we have to do our part, too. Constantly reassess what we do, how we do it, make adjustments as necessary. And today, one of those reassessments deals with the work of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, a more equitable allocation model for trial courts. And as we know, their work will be the main item on our discussion agenda later today. This concludes my report to the Council. I look forward to working with all of you on Access 3D in the years to come.